My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio has been very kind over the years to reach out to me, and maybe you as well, Bulldog, when he might have a fantasy question. And I would like to return the favor with a question that is making my head hurt, Sal, if you're ready.
I'm ready. You rock and roll. I'm guessing it might have to do James Cook, but I have no idea.
Josh Allen or Geno Smith this week?
Ooh, I mean, I don't think you ever can bench Josh Allen in a fantasy game. I don't care if you think he has a terrible matchup and the other person has the best matchup in the league. He's Josh Allen, and he can run for two touchdowns in any given game.
Okay. That's what I tell people, too. Well, so a form of that is, how will you feel if Allen blasts off and has one of his classic performances and you benched him for Geno Smith against the Niners? Like, not great.
Yeah, this is very different than, like, say, benching Kyle Pitts last week.
Very different because
you're tired of the low numbers or even the zeros, and then he gets 15. You're like, okay, well, good. I guess he can go back in now. He got the message. I'm speaking from experience. We did bench him last week.
Pitts is so going 2-for-19 this week.
Right, sure. But, yeah, Allen is different. And they both have pretty tough matchups. I mean, I know the 49ers don't look like the 49ers record-wise at 2-3, but, I mean, that's a team that's... I don't know how Geno Smith has done against San Francisco. I know how Josh Allen's done against the Jets, and that's been a tough road. I just don't think either... I don't see an advantageous matchup on either side there.
All right.
And I think, yeah, you can live with it. If you bench Allen and he goes off, yeah, that's tough to take. If you play Geno... And if you bench Geno, I mean, and he goes off, I think that's easier to live with and go, yeah, but I got Josh Allen. Come on, right? I mean, like, I think you can, it's a little more forgiving to yourself.
You want to, last thing, you want to not, I think, you know, obsess about or even care about the fact that it's 3 days of looking at your lineup if you get this quote wrong tonight. Like, it really shouldn't matter when the games are played, but there is something about that. You know, goose egg or whatever, staring back at you, especially if you're me and you're just constantly obsessing over these things just for 3 days, all the way to Sunday night football or Monday night, 4 days.
Right.
Monday night football, even. Like, oh, why did I do it? If like, Sal's scenario, Geno Smith has a 25-point game or something like that, hey, you're still live. You've got, you know, Allen on Monday. But it is, how about it, Sal? Like,
right.
the overall point, obviously, is, he's not putting the numbers up. Look at that from any perspective, and it looks different this year. Do you generally think that that's going to bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like these overwhelming numbers, but I do. I think that the last 2 weeks just haven't been good numbers, but I think the overall should be... The last 2 weeks are some of the worst like fantasy performances of his career, I think, to be quite honest, right? If I know. So I think it has to bounce back. I don't know if you'll quite get the ceiling where we've been used to for the overall numbers, but I would think you'd have to have... Again, look at the Arizona game week one. It wasn't great, and then all of a sudden, bam, two touchdowns, right? So I think if you're talking fantasy-wise, yes. If you're talking just percentage-wise, passing, those numbers... I don't know what the expectations should be. I think it certainly should be better than it was last week, but maybe not as high an end as it was the Monday night against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
While we're on him, has there been any visual evidence to the changing the left hand? I thought I saw reference to during the game on Sunday that he didn't have the two fingers taped together. Do you know if there's been any?
Correct.
Okay, so he still had the glove, but the fingers weren't taped together any longer.
That's correct. That was the change on Sunday. Okay. And it's remained so far in practice this week where he's wearing the glove, but the fingers aren't taped. Last week, he had the finger. He did not have the fingers taped. Oh, so 2 weeks ago, if I remember right, he still had them taped during the game against the Ravens. And then this Sunday, nothing at all. I'm trying to remember the timeline, but I think that was a change over the last week or so, yes.
Right. Okay. So maybe that's improving, but not enough to take the glove off. I don't know. Maybe he'll just leave the glove on all the time. Who knows? Maybe he likes
it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, and look, this isn't like this glove. Like, I mean, I don't have the glove in my hand to tell you, but it appears to me when I take a picture of it or look at it, it might have a little extra padding on it too, right? It's not just a glove. It's got, you know, you're protecting the hand a little bit. So it would make sense that, hey, you know what? It feels good where I can kind of move everything, but let's just kind of be precautionary so we don't re-injure it, you know, while we're running or so, you know, banging on someone's helmet or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense maybe that you play the longer game with that side of it.
Do you have any sort of additional analysis to like Allen versus the Jets? I mean, the numbers aren't great. He had one pretty big game there a few years ago, but that's kind of it. I mean, obviously the Jets have some famous good defensive players, but is there a scheme thing or is there something more to it?
I don't know. I think scheme probably plays a little bit into it. I think a lot of times, you know, the scheme can be everybody, though. It seems like the Bills overall have kind of struggled a little bit against whatever the Jets do. I know typically a lot of times the Jets run a 3-4 and, you know, they come from different places. It's not something you see a lot in the league. You do see them twice a year, so you'd think it'd be a little bit more used to it. They have good players, too, right? They certainly have good players. Now, look, remember last year, Ken Dorsey gets fired after the Monday night game, and the Bills go and play the Jets literally six days later, and Josh Allen goes 275 and three touchdowns against the Jets. They scored 32 points. So he's had these games against them. I'm looking at his game logs now. He had 70% completion percentage in that Monday night game, but he just made bad decisions. He threw three interceptions, and he should have ran the ball. But overall, like, he was actually completing some passes. His completion percentage has not been that great against them. They're typically taking away and making it a little bit more frustrating on him. Mike, I don't think it's necessary. I do think it's part of its scheme. But look, I mean, you have scheme with good coach. This defense gives everybody fits. They've been one of the top defenses in the league over the last few years. So it's not like it's just Josh Allen that they're doing this to. And they have good players. And I think some of the things they do have been really kind of just matchup-wise a little bit tough for the Buffalo Bills.
I had been hopeful, you know, not nothing against the guy, but just for the Bills' sake here, that Sauce Gardner, who left the game against Minnesota on Sunday, could be, you know, limited or just, you know, maybe even unavailable this week. He's not even on the injury report. I just finally saw it now. They've got, I think, their nickel corner, maybe Michael Carter, didn't practice. Left tackle Tyron Smith had a vet rest day, and then some guys limited. Morgan Moses, the right tackle, CJ Mosley, linebacker Rogers is on that list, but no Sauce Gardner, so he has no designation at all. I assume he's just a full go, so they'll have their two studs on the outside.
Yeah, for sure. And you wonder, how do they play him? I mean, there's not somebody he has to travel with, right? So he probably stays on one side. They could do something like that. Remember last year, that Khalil Shakir long touchdown, and Sauce kind of got beat on that. There was a bunch of stuff on social media, him saying he wasn't beat on it or whatever, but there was that long touchdown. He was right in the vicinity of that. And on the other side for the Bills, you know, obviously with Khalil Shakir's situation, which we can talk about, you know, that could, you know, change and alter the dynamic of how they want to attack or what the Jets defense wants to do, because so far he's really been the only wide receiver on the Bills that's put up any kind of numbers.
Well, let's get to the injuries. Shakir still a DNP, and James Cook too. Any read on where we think this is headed? The game isn't until Monday. I'm not sure how much we could possibly know right now.
You're right. It's tough right now. So if you want to get just my read on how these things normally go, you know, James Cook 2 days in a row, really not doing much. In fact, you know, he's still working a little bit off to the side with trainers, but it just seems like this could take a little bit. And I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. I'll have Sean on the Extra Point Show It is a Friday before a Monday game, so he won't say exactly like the injury designation status for everyone for the game. That doesn't come out till Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills were without James Cook on Monday night. Khalil Shakir is interesting to me. He did more today than he did yesterday. I have some video you can watch. He actually was on the field. Mike White was actually throwing him some passes as he kind of worked right next to a trainer doing some get-off stuff with his feet and, you know, kind of some explosion stuff. So I wonder if he's getting a little bit closer and if that's going to be, you know, something that, you know, it was until Friday last week where he wasn't even declared out. My Sean came on the radio show and said he wouldn't be playing. I wonder if maybe that's more of something that goes through the weekend and we find out about him a little bit. So to me, you got more of a chance the way I see it or for Khalil Shakir to possibly play than James Cook. It wouldn't surprise me either way if neither of them plays.
And the news is still good on Taron Johnson. I see limited, but he was out of the red non-contact, right?
Yeah, better news, in fact, being out of the red non-contact. Remember yesterday I said he was doing actually more stuff with his arm. He was actually hitting a bag a little bit. So great news that he's out of the red non-contact. So is Terrell Bernard. He was in one, so he's out of that. And again, sometimes that's just, you know, you get it first practice after a game, want to make sure the body's feeling right. So maybe it's just more precautionary than anything. Obviously, with Taylor Rapp being cleared from concussion protocol, not necessarily anything that you have to be worried about. But a lot of times you get back at practice, you just want to make sure guys get through things. So he practiced. And then positive news for Curtis Samuel, he actually practiced today. He was limited. Remember, he didn't practice at all yesterday. Right. So he was limited and out there. So at least he's trending in the right direction.
What would you predict the Bills do in the backfield if no Cook?
It's a good question. I would predict that you'd get pretty good split carry share between Ty Johnson and Ray Davis in some capacity. In a situation like this, you got prime time, division game, you know, tough environment. I would not be surprised if Ty Johnson gets the nod over Ray Davis just to kind of start the game, get the flow going. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is one of those situations where I'll be the first to tell you I think it's totally overblown that like the Bills and Sean McDermott don't play rookies. But I do think situation matters of when they play rookies, how often, or deferring to a...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Veteran, right? And I think this would be maybe a situation, maybe even a home 1 p.m. game, maybe a lean a little bit more on the rookie and say, yeah, he'll be fine. I think in an environment like this, under the lights, prime time, in New York, maybe you lean on the veteran a little bit more. That wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
And I would guess they'd both kind of get some time.
Yeah, and maybe they'll elevate Darrington Evans. His practice window just opened. Maybe that would be a little fast, but he did practice in full here today. And they also have Frank Gore Jr. down there on the practice squad, right?
Yes. The only thing about Darrington Evans is you couldn't elevate him. If he is to come off IR, they got to make a roster move.
I see.
Someone's got to get released.
Gotcha.
Because he's on IR.
Right.
What they could do is release him and then, hey, he has to go through waivers and then resign him. But I don't even think the timing on that would work. So that's a bit tricky there. Yeah, you could do it, Bulldog. If you're going to elevate someone, that would be the Frank Gore Jr. situation there.
Right.
Because he's on the practice squad and you could just elevate him.
Right. What have you thought of Davis so far?
I like Davis. I've liked him. I think that he runs hard. You know, his first couple carries, first game, like the first game when it was a little rough for him, I thought he's really kind of gotten into it a little bit better, though. You know, he looked a lot better starting with week two. I like what he's done so far in certain situations. What I really like is his pass blocking, picking up blitzes. He's done a really nice job. That's a tough deal for rookies to kind of learn. You know, but he's a rookie, but he played like 5 years of college football. He's a little bit older. You know, I think he's a little bit more experienced than most rookies and understands those concepts. He played, you know, what helps him. And, you know, we talk about like guys going to different colleges, and I hate it as much as a lot of people do. He played with three different colleges. But what that does actually exposes you to a lot of different systems and learning how to do things different ways. So you're a little bit more prepared to do that when you get into the NFL and they're asking you, you know, to do something some way. You might say, oh, you know what? I did that when I was at Kentucky, or I did that when I was at Temple. Mm-hmm. You know, you have three different schools to choose from here. I like him. I think he's going to be a good player for the Bills. I think that they're starting to use him a little bit more in that power role that we thought they would. But at the same time, I think they're trusting him a little bit more to be kind of just an all-around number two guy.
Still pretty disappointing to see a DNP for Ed Oliver again here today, yeah. Sal. But on the bright side, I know I mentioned Dwayne Carter last week because he celebrated a good play, but you know the Bills were pretty far behind and it just rankled me a little bit. So enough to mention it. I liked him a lot on Sunday in Houston.
Yeah, he was really good. Somebody was telling me how undersized he was a couple of weeks ago, so I looked it up and said, you know, he's a little shorter than what you want. He's 6 foot. I think you want your. Are you 6'2", right? I think he's 6'2", yeah. I'm sorry. I think you want your D-tackles to be a little bit taller than that. I think Ed Oliver's 6 foot. But he's not really undersized for today's NFL. He's over 300 pounds. And a lot of these guys are a little bit smaller. You know, I looked at some rosters around the league because when someone's mentioned, I said, you know, I wonder what the average guy is. A lot of D-tackles now are worried about him. He's kind of average size. Again, not as much the height. You might want a little bit taller there. But teams really only have one or two guys that are 325 plus these days. Like, you might have one or two. Daquan Jones is for the Bills. A lot of the guys, though, are penetrating, smaller, athletic guys. Mm-hmm. And look, what he did in that first play of the game was a super athletic play, right? I mean, he diagnoses the screen, and then he just jumps on it right away. After the game, I said, hey, you know, what did you see on that? And he it was a really good answer. He went back to the week before, and he said, you know, he didn't recognize quick enough. He worked all week on making sure he was recognizing film study. And as soon as he felt it, he recognized it, and he went right to it. That's great. I love hearing that from guys. They're learning from their mistakes. He seems like he's a high IQ guy. We know that. His dad played in the NFL. He got a lot of bloodlines there. He played. He was a three-time captain at Duke. Like, he's a leader. This is a guy that's going to study football, and he's going to want to get better every week. And I thought you saw that last week. I agree with you. He was making some plays out there. And if Ed Oliver doesn't play, in fact, Josh Reed and I were talking about this today. Like, if Ed Oliver doesn't play, yeah, sure, it's a loss. But if that kid can play like that, it's not nearly the kind of loss it could be.
It really buffers it. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jets made the coaching change this week. And today, the interim coach, Jeff Ulbrich, said he's changing play callers on offense to Todd Downing from Nate Hackett. I don't know if you have a specific thought on Downing. I really don't. I know in Tennessee, I think it was, he didn't really do great. I think it was Tennessee. But just the idea of making that move, midweek, midseason. I mean, the head coaching change, it doesn't have to be so, you know, in terms of the granular side of it, maybe so meaningful. I think there's definitely a feeling that this would be different. But play calling and, you know, setting up the game plan, everything that the offensive coordinator will do. I'm not sure they're calling him that. Still, it's a big change. What do you think, in general, a team's chances are of pulling that off successfully?
Well, it's interesting. Again, go back to last year. The Bills were great at it the following week, right? I mean, they changed Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady, and they scored 32 points in 6 days later, which was wild, against the Jets defense. I think it can give a team a shot in the arm. It's a new way to look at things, a new perspective. I do think, you know, if you have a guy sitting there in the booth or on the sidelines and he's watching the game and he's taking this all in, he's not calling plays, a lot of times it gives him perspective on, you're thinking, okay, I would do this here, I would do that there. And you have a real, you know, fresh set, like I said, of eyes and thoughts. And sometimes as a play caller, I think you can just get a little bit too, you know, kind of status quo. Like, these are the things that we know that work, and you get into it. So it opens. I think it opens up a little some creativity here for the Jets to be ready for anything. And, you know, obviously they could start, but the system won't change. The system's not going to change in that close of a time period. I asked Joe Brady about this very thing in the offseason when he took over for Ken Dorsey. How about the system changing? And look, you don't have Ken Dorsey's system necessarily. And he said, no, you can't do that. He said, what you really do is, though, you go to Josh, and in this case it'll be Aaron Rodgers. You know, what do you like to do? What do you think we're good at? Let's try to pare these things down to that, and then we'll kind of expand from there on maybe what we can do off of that. So I think that's what they're probably working through this week, Mike, which is they're probably getting in together with Aaron Rodgers especially, but, you know, guys on the offense, and saying, what have you liked and what haven't you liked about the flow of the game and the play calling and what we're doing and what we're not doing, and you go from there. And a lot of times, too, the play calling, I think too much is made of the actual play call in football. I think it's the execution that matters, right? I mean, lots of plays are called that really are great play calls, but somebody just doesn't do it right. But a lot of time, the operation really matters. It's getting the call in on time, getting out of the huddle, getting your quarterback up to the line in time. All this stuff about the cadence. Remember that a couple weeks ago with yep. Rodgers and the cadence? Like, those are the kinds of things that I think can matter here, what they do there.
Before you go, as a Yankees fan, what are your thoughts on the Mets?
They're super exciting. They're fun to watch. I have a friend that is a very high level, works high level in the Mets organization. I'm super happy for him. I am very worried. I do not want them to go farther than the Yankees because that's tough to deal with as a Yankee fan. So it's fun in games and great until they finally lose. And I say, okay, at least the Yankees, you know, are better. Now, if the Yankees happen to get eliminated, it's a tough one for me because I don't want to see the Mets win a World Series now before the Yankees, but I would be absolutely thrilled for my friend who works for them and others who I know are big Mets fans.
You think it's generally right that Mets fan hates the Yankees, but Yankees fan doesn't really hate the Mets?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Little brother.
Yeah, that's
or yeah, something. Yeah, that kind of thing, right?
Pities
but look,
them.
I think the Mets are getting like they're getting a lot of buzz out. They're a fun team to watch. The energy at that place is great. They have this really rich owner. So I do think some Yankee fans are now starting to feel a little bit more like the other way.
A listener told me today, by the way, that their hitting director, the Mets, lives in Rochester, Jeff Albert.
Oh. I did not know that.
He said his son had done clinics from him in the Rochester area. So
well, there's that too. I just hope the Yankees win tonight with Cole on the mound because you need to close this out. If they go to Yankee Stadium for Game 5, anything can happen. I don't want that to happen. So just close this thing out tonight.
Very good.
You got a nice one from Stanton last night there, buddy.
Let me just say real quickly, guys. I've said this a couple times today on with both the other shows. I am the number one guy over the last few years who just gets so frustrated at Giancarlo Stanton not getting a big hit in a big situation, and I just kind of take it all back. You got a big hit in a big situation. Did you see the stat? He is second in baseball history behind Babe Ruth for the best at-bat to home run ratio in the postseason. Yep. That's incredible.
Who was this? Babe Ruth? Who was this?
Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah. Didn't he drive in a run earlier in the game, and did I read he had a stolen base?
He did.
Well, How did that happen? I watched him try to run to from first to third the other day, and I needed a sundial to time it.
Bulldog, he was the only guy on base, and they were not holding him on. Like they're not holding him on. I think there was only one out too, if I remember. So he literally walked off the base. He just kept walking, and by the time he got to a certain spot, the pitcher starts his stretch. Bam! I'll see you. I'll take off.
I'm looking at this Babe Ruth you mentioned. Holy cow, his reference page. Wow, this guy was good.
He goes by a couple names, too, just so you know.
He led the American League. Oh, is Babe Ruth going to have the nickname that we've never heard? I doubt it. Is that actually going to apply here? No nicknames. Maybe baseball is above it. I don't see any.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Wait. You had to scroll down. Jidge?
I don't know what that is. I know the Bambino.
The Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT.
Sultan of SWAT, sure.
The King of Crash? The Colossus of Clout?
Wow.
Jidge.
Jidge.
I hope I'm not swearing by saying that. That's just what it says here. It's right?
J-I-D-G-E.
Anyway, it's out there.
Yeah, okay.
It's out there. All right. Putting it back out there. I just wanted to learn a little bit more about this Babe Ruth that Sal mentioned.
You know, he used to pitch.
Oh, there's no way. That's not true. 803-0550. I did a bad job yesterday by saying I wanted to bring a new wide receiver name into the conversation, then never did. So this time, I promise. Lines are open. Sabres and Kings tonight, the home opener. Pre-game at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.